Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to another NHN radio show. This is DC, your host. Now, the next time you take a walk with your pet or go out to feed your horse, take a minute to talk with them. Ask them how they're feeling. Seems silly? It's not, if you think about it. They have a voice if we just listen. My guest tonight does just that. Jim Link, animal communicator and author of the book Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail. His book can be found on Amazon or on Tim's website, which is wagging-tails.com. Now, we have a full house tonight, lots of critters to chat with. Most of the folks who sent in pictures and questions are either working or too shy to attend, so I'll go ahead and ask the questions for them. All we ask is that you get back to us with feedback on what Tim is able to find out about your pet or horse. So without any further ado, let's get started. Welcome, everybody, and welcome, Tim.
Well, it's great to be here, DC. Good to hear from you. Happy New Year, 2010, new decade. Can you believe that?
Same to you. It's amazing to me it's 2010 already. It seems like just yesterday it was year 2000, and everybody was worried about what was going to happen because of Y2K.
Absolutely. Well, our favorite story was that you know, all the Y2K was going on, and my wife and I needed to get away on a vacation anyway, so what we decided to do to bring in the year 2000 was to take a trip to Hawaii.
Ah.
So we took a 10-day trip to Hawaii, our first visit. Now we've been back at least four other times because it's just a beautiful place to be. But we thought, well, hey, if the world's going to come to an end, what better place to be than to be in Hawaii? Yeah, definitely so. The only challenge we had when all this happened was we flew out New Year's Eve from Atlanta, and you leave in the afternoon. It's a 10-hour flight to Hawaii, and they do have some direct flights where you don't take a stop into L.A. or San Francisco. So on this particular trip, we flew directly into Hawaii, 10 hours, got off the plane. Of course, we're all excited and ready to go. But by the time we got to our hotel and got dinner and checked in and got ready, it was midnight, but it was midnight on the East Coast. We still had five more hours to try to stay awake.
Oh, no.
Yes. So we managed to ink it out, and they had a beautiful barge out on the ocean, and they shot the fireworks off there. And we lasted till about 12:05 Hawaii time, and that was about as far as we could go. And
wow.
The world didn't come to an end. You know, we're all still here. So
yeah, 10 years later, we're all still here.
10 years, exactly. So my plan is, you know, by the year 2020, I'm going to start a vicious rumor that the world's going to end, so I can just make another trip to Hawaii. That's my plan.
Well, sorry, Tim, because I believe it's going to end in 2012.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's right. I need to plan that a little sooner, don't I?
Yeah, you better. Get going on that.
I'm going to get
planning
on that.
But anyway, so before we get started, I want to let everyone know that we have a full house tonight. We only have an hour. So we're going to limit everybody who is signed up to one pet. And then if we have time, we'll get to your extra pet, but we'll try to do the most important ones first. And I just want to let everyone know that so you don't feel left out. And, Tim, I apologize for cutting you off. I just wanted to let everybody know that. And I think you had a couple announcements you wanted to make, didn't you, Tim?
Yeah, just real quick, everybody, that if you're new to the show or if you've been listening to the show for a long time since when I've been on, you know that you can find out all the latest information about what I've got going on, all my events, book signings, speeches, TV appearances, radio appearances, you name it. It's all on the website, which is wagging-tails.com. That's wagging-tails.com. And I believe you have a link on your website as well, DC.
I do.
But so, It's a wonderful website. It has all kinds of different information. It's updated pretty much on a daily basis, so there's always new stuff on there. And most importantly, we have a newsletter that comes out the first day of every month, and it's chock full of not only appearances and things that you need to know about wagging tails, but there's also helpful hints, little tips in there, and little articles that we have written or little things that we have done to have you help you out with your pets, give them a better life, things you should know, things that are going on in the world. And our January 1st issue, which is posted on the website as well, wagging-tails, has to do with the H3N8 virus, which may be news to some people. Some people may already know about it. So we hear a lot about the H1N1 virus and the vaccines for that, for the humans, for the influenza, for the H1N1. But there is also a new flu out there that's impacting our canines, impacting the dogs, and it's called H3N8. And there is been documentation that this canine influenza virus, CIV, has been documented in 30 different states in the United States. So I think it's something that people, if you're not aware of it, take a look at the website, look at the newsletter. There's some detailed information on there about the H3N8. You can talk to your veterinarian about any vaccines or what their thoughts are on it. And obviously you can get a hold of the American Veterinary Medical Association's website, and that'll give you even more detail on it. But go to the website, wagging-tails.com, pull up the section for newsletter, and you can find out about the H3N8 and how to protect your beautiful dogs.
Wow, thank you, Tim. I hadn't even heard about that, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to go look that up.
It's a good thing to be aware of.
Absolutely. Well, are we ready to get to our first critter here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we have Jack on the line. I'm going to bring him on, and he can ask you about his horse, Candy Bar. Hello, Jack, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Jack. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
I want to tell you a little quickly about Candy Bar. You have the picture. She's been a little bit off for a while now. We can't quite figure out exactly what it is. She's a little sore on the front end, and one day she's fine, the next day she's sore all over. Had some chiropractic work done on her, some massage, some regular vet work. But she don't seem to be, we can't seem to get right down to what it is that's bothering her.
Right. Is it mostly in her legs, her front legs?
Front legs, yeah.
Yeah, they feel really tender and stiff. How's she doing today? Is she feeling a little bit off today?
Actually, today she's a little bit better. Yesterday she was off pretty bad.
Okay, that's good.
We had some farrier work done on her the day before yesterday. And we had to put shoes on to try to help her out a little bit. She's been without shoes for years, but we took them off to see if she'd be a little bit better, but she was much, much worse, so we had to put them back on. And she came up pretty sore.
Okay.
But today she's pretty good.
Good. That's a good thing. Yeah, she was really showing me the front legs, and they feel really sore. They almost feel like arthritis. But I know, you know, she's still, 11 years old, still pretty young. Are you giving her any supplements to help treat that in addition to the massage?
Actually, she's on supplements. She's on, I don't know if you know Dr. Dan. I know DC does. But I've been on his feed program for a year now. So she's getting supplements and minerals from him. But that's all. Nothing different than that.
Okay, and those DC can chime here as well. Does that include things like glucosamine and chondroitin and various things of this sort, lubricants, oils?
It does. It's a very good program, and I'd also like to add, Jack, that you might consider looking into something really simple, which is rose hips. And I can send you some information on rose hips, which there's a lot of scientific evidence to show that it's very beneficial for arthritis. And you can just make her a tea daily with that. Add it to her supplements or grain or whatever you give.
Okay, that would be great. I'm looking for any Any tips that'll help.
Yeah, I think those things, I think you're doing the right things. You recognized it, which is the most important. It feels real stiff, real tender to me. So I think there's going to be good days and bad days. The foods and supplements that you have are great. I think the rose hips is a great idea as well. If it continues on, she continues to have issues, in addition to massage, you may want to take a look at some other modalities as well, things like acupuncture for her. That may alleviate some of the stress and the pressure as well. So it's just real kind of, it, you know, to me, like I said, it feels like, I don't think it's arthritis, but it feels like that type. And I don't know, do you keep her, is she in the pasture most of the time, or is she in the stable when it's colder?
Out in good weather, she's out as much as possible. With this real, we've had some really cold weather lately, windy, so she's been in at night and out during the day.
Okay. Good. Well, I definitely keep those areas, especially the areas that are tender when it's cold outside or there's some drastic change, keep her warm, but I'll keep the frontal area warm as well. Keep those front legs warm.
Yeah, another thing you can do, Jack, is leg warmers for horses. Sounds
absolutely
silly, but
yeah,
keep
you're
the leg warm.
That said that today. Okay.
That'd be great. Plus, when she's got the leg warmers on, she'll be ready for the disco. So she's
exactly
good to go.
Or she can do some Bollywood.
There you go. But
okay,
I think she's okay. Yeah, just
go
put
ahead.
Those things in play. Keep doing what you need to do, Jack. Add some of those supplements. Keep her warm. Keep those legs warm. And I think you know, she'll be feeling better. Hopefully by spring she'll be doing real well.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. Thank you,
DC.
Thank you, Jack. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wonderful, Tim. Should we do, let's do Sharon. She's next on the list with her dog, Brandy.
Okay.
We also have a caller on the line, and I'll click on you next and see if you're calling about your pet. But let's do Sharon first.
All right. So Sharon's got her dog named Brandy. Let's see what she has to say about Brandy. Now, Brandy has a... Now, Brandy's the one that has the lump coming on the neck. Is that correct? I'm trying to get this right here. Bear with
I have her in chat, so I'll see if she can confirm that.
Okay. Yeah, it feels kind of, it just feels really, I think Brandy's feeling quite out of sorts. Okay, Brandy, see how her health is doing, some of the things Sharon wants to know. She knows lately there's a tumor on the back of her neck, and it's gotten a little bit bigger, and she's having some urinary issues. She feels, to be honest with you, Sharon, she feels some stress to me. I don't know if it's stress because there are things going on around her, holidays, people visiting, those type of things will send them off. Weather changes will make some changes in your dog's behavior and the stress level there as well. But it almost feels like a medical stress type of thing. So when you've got some internal issue going on that's medical related, that will trigger other stress mechanisms within the dogs as well. And I think it's where the urinary is coming from. I think it's where the urine is coming from. She may have some sort of stress-related infection in there, something of this sort. But the tumor is the thing we want to keep an eye on, and that's the thing that I wouldn't hesitate to take her in and get it looked at, have some of the fluid around it drained off, get it tested out to make sure it's nothing major going on in there. You know, you'll have to ask your veterinarian, but I always go by sort of a rule of thumb, and this is not a hard, fast rule, but just through years of doing this, I sort of, more times than not, there's this test that I do with whenever there's a nodule or whenever there's a lump or something that's on the animal. If you can grab a hold of it with your fingers and lightly move it around and it seems like it moves readily, then more likely it's not... it's more like a fatty pocket or some sort of benign type of cyst or tumor in there. If it feels hard, if it feels attached to a muscle or bone, has very little movement, that's when you'd want to be more concerned, because more times than not I've seen that manifest into something a little bit more serious. So though I'm not a veterinarian, those are sort of rules of thumb that I go by, but if it does show growth, that's something you want to take serious, and I'd get that checked out.
Wonderful. Wow. Well, If we have time, Sharon, we will get to your horses, Kyo and Dolly, but for now, unless you have any questions, she said she had it looked at 6 months back, and it's not attached to anything.
Okay, good, good. It may be just some sort of a benign cyst that can be easily lanced or removed. It could be some sort of, it's probably a little bit more than the fatty pocket if it's continuing to grow, but, you know, that could be. Check around on Brandy other places, especially around the sides, by her ribs, by her neck, and by her upper stomach area, and make sure that there's no other ones there. She could be prone to just having those little cysts develop on her body. But if it does continue to grow, get it checked again. Things change rapidly with our pets in 6 months.
Very good, Jim. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Let me bring this other caller on and see if they have a question. Caller 503, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Angela.
Pardon me?
This is Angela Sidlow.
Hi, Angela.
How are you?
And I'm great. Thanks for calling in. And your pet is Shasta, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Go ahead with your question.
Well, Shasta recently lost her best friend, Hannah. And my question is, would she like to have another a dog companion, or is she happy with barn cats and just getting all the attention right now? The other dog was hit by a car, unfortunately, but when they found Shasta, she was standing over Hannah, and so she knew that she was gone. So even though she grieved, I think she did understand.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, she definitely understood that what was going on and what had happened. Now, was Shasta a smaller, was Shasta's friend, was that a smaller dog?
She was a lab mix. And Shasta was bigger than her because she's a very large German Shepherd, but the other dog was definitely the alpha, and so Shasta was left not really knowing where to fall in the pack of our family, and so she's checked in with us a lot lately, like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, and has she picked up any of the characteristics of the other dog?
She lays on Hannah's bed a lot.
Yeah. Okay, and that's fine. That's a good thing because, you know, when our animals transition, they will come back frequently. You'll feel their energy. You'll feel their, what you call it, energy, spirit, however you want to label it. You'll feel them around a lot, and you'll see things that look like them or flashes or places they like to lay will be warm, those type of things. And so Shasta's picking up that from Hannah and is trying to learn those lessons from Hannah and sort of learn those teachings. So you'll probably see Shasta start to do more and more things that Hannah used to do, probably try to assume more of an alpha, even though there's not another dog there, but take on some of those characteristics that Hannah had, because that's, Hannah's leaving that those teachings back for Shasta. So
I experienced that with a pair of barn cats that we had, and I'm a Reiki practitioner, so I am very aware of the energy that Hannah still has around.
Perfect, perfect. So continue to do that, and use your Reiki and use your other modalities to make sure that Shasta's okay and feeling okay around with all this. Make sure she knows what's going on. Don't be afraid to talk to her about it, to let her know what the situation is and what she needs to do and why it's going to be okay. And to answer your question is, Shasta said one like her. But I'm getting more of, not necessarily another German Shepherd, but one that is similar in characteristic. So I'm assuming Hannah and Shasta had a lot in common. They both like to run and play, they were very similar as far as just their energy and what they like to do.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And that's what she wants again. So I think it will manifest itself. I would give it a little bit of time, a few months at least. It will probably happen when you least expect it. There'll probably be one that shows up at your doorstep, or you'll be out at the local grocery store, which happens to be next to the pet store, and there's an adoption event. There'll be something there, and Shasta will let you know. You'll get a feeling. You just trust it. but she's definitely looking. I think she understands the whole process, is sort of coming to terms with it, and more importantly, when you do get that other companion for her, she wants one like her as far as energy is concerned.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for everything you do.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Angela?
Yes?
I just wanted to thank you for calling in and tell you I'm sorry for your loss, because I feel that really affected you, your dog, and I'm really sorry it happened. I know how it feels to lose an animal that you love.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot.
Okay. Bye-bye, and thank you.
Take care, Angela.
Thanks.
So sad when we lose our pets. I remember, Tim, on one of our first shows, you talked to me about a horse that I had lost, and you told me that they will come back when the time is right. And I always remember you telling me that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, they when they go into their transition process and they start to regenerate that energy, they'll come back in that energy form, that spirit form, and check in with us to make sure that they've left everything okay and that we're doing okay. And then they'll also leave those teachings, those imprints with the animals that are in the house. And it's all animals in the house. It doesn't necessarily mean a dog will leave imprints for another dog. They can leave it for the other animals as well, whether it be cats or horses, whatever it may be. And then, of course, when that energy gets totally regenerated and gets into, you know, universal form, spirit form, however you want to label it, they do have those opportunities. They have options on what they want to do. And often if their life has been cut short due to an accident and they haven't fulfilled their purpose for being here, they will come back. They'll come back fairly frequently, or shouldn't say frequently, fairly soon to be able to fulfill their purpose and mission that for the reason that they're here. So, yeah, it's a good time. I mean, it's a tough time whenever you lose a pet and lose them in that situation, but the best thing to do, in my opinion, is to recognize that, honor them, put together, pull out your best and favorite pictures of them, put together a little shrine, a little scrapbook. If you've got other people in the house, family members, children, have them participate in it. And that helps really with that cleansing process and that healing process. And they'll be back around.
And, Tim, do they come back as the same type of animal? Like, would a cat come back as a dog, or do they always come back as the same animal?
Not necessarily. I mean, they can come back in whatever form that they want to. Animals, you know, I always use that word energy. I like the word energy because I think we're all made up of energy, and we take a body, select a body, and we are here to try to fulfill whatever purpose it is that we're here for. And with the animals, they try to stay true to that purpose. And so if they've lived especially if they've lived a nice long life, and then they transition, they've more than likely completed their purpose for being here. And then when they regenerate and they want to come back down for a different purpose, sometimes they like the body they were in, they like being a dog or like being a type of dog, and other times they're like, well, I'm going to try something else because I think that this other type of body, whether it be a cat or a horse or a different type of dog, whatever it may be, I feel that that body will help me fulfill my purpose for being here on this next purpose.
Wow,
that is so cool. I do believe they can do that.
Well, I guess we better move on. We got carried away on a little tangent there. So who do you want to do next, Tim?
It is totally up to you. We've got a whole bunch of them.
Let's do Cindy with Fanny. Fanny is her draft cross mare.
Right. She really doesn't know where to start with the questions. She wants to know if she's happy. She is very happy, by the way. She seems to be very happy, very well contented. Her belly shows that as well. And I could see that in the picture. It's funny because she was sort of showing me her belly, and then I looked at the picture, and yes, she's doing quite well for herself. So I think that's good. I would watch that when we talk about issues that develop. I don't feel any – her energy feels good. It feels like it's flowing pretty smooth and open. So I think she's feeling pretty good. I would want to watch that weight. If it's cold weather, then fine, but you want to continue to watch that. She doesn't say how old Fanny is. I'm getting a very young soul, very young spirit, but I'm not sure of the age. So I'd be real curious about that because we want to watch that weight and watch that, make sure she stays good and healthy as she gets older.
Yeah, I think she mentioned she may have had a slight, like, laminitic, or she might be slightly insulin resistant, and I think she's tried to put her on a dry lot, if I recall correctly. So sounds like you're hitting it right on there with watching that belly weight.
Yep. Keep an eye on that. That's going to be an issue. You want to make her happy, but you know, you got to be careful of that. Make sure she's getting exercise. Make sure she's getting all the things that she needs. But overall, she seems pretty happy. She keeps using this word more time. So I'm not sure, Cindy, how much time you get to spend with Fanny. I'm not sure if she's at your location or not, but she's wanting more time. So I think some more individual time. But she likes she likes that one-on-one time. She's really shown me that. She's not shown me any other animals, any other horses that, you know, she may be friendly to some, she may not, but she's not shown me anything with any other animals. She's showing me mostly one-on-one time. So I would spend, you know, as much one-on-one time as you can with her, and I think it would be good for Cindy as well.
Yeah, I think she mentioned there was some pain in her side or something a while back, and I know she's concerned because the horses had to be moved quite often from place to place. Do you pick up anything like that from her?
She seems to be pretty content where she's at. So if this is a new place, then I think you're in pretty good shape. I didn't see anything. She's not showing me anything that she's upset with. I think she's okay. I think she's okay for the moment. She wants more time, though, so I don't know how isolated she is or how much time Cindy gets to spend with her. But I think some good one-on-one time would be warranted. I think that'd make her very happy.
Very interesting. Very good. Wonderful. So, Cindy, if you get to listen to this, please give us feedback and let us know your thoughts on what we were able to find out today.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's do Lucy the Aggressive Dog.
Lucy the Aggressive Dog.
That was sent in by Diane Brooks.
Got it right here. All right, let me pull up our... okay, Lucy is is 5 years old. She came to live with them as a 7-week-old puppy, so been around with the family quite a while. Always had more than one dog, shares with her life. Our question is that... she has some aggressive tendencies. There are some people that she just doesn't like. If she is outside and near the house, no one other than the family members would be safe to approach the house. Okay. And, okay, very sweet. So it's a Great Dane. Beautiful. Sweet. Okay. So here's what we got. She's very talkative, which is good. You would think a dog like this would be very quiet just because of its, you know, a big, gentle demeanor. But Lucy's very talkative. She's wondering why you worry about her barking at people outside the house, because that's her job. So whether that's a job that Diane, you've assigned to Lucy, or whether that is a self-assigned job, more likely it's a self-assigned job, that's what Lucy feels that she needs to do. So if there's any movement around the house, then she's going to get pretty vocal about it. And that's okay. That's okay to do that, in my opinion. You want to make sure that if that's her job, whether it's assigned or non-assigned job, that you recognize what it is she's barking at. Tell her that you recognize what it is she's barking at. Thank her for doing a good job, and then ask her to stop doing it. Okay, so we talk a lot about, if you've listened to me over the years, I talk about speaking to your animals, talking to your animals verbally, because when you verbally talk to your animals, they not only understand the words that you're saying, but more importantly, they see the visualization that comes with those words. So every time we say a word, visual, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, a visualization comes out, and our animals respond to those visual things that we're projecting. That's what they focus in on the most. So when we say the word rocking chair, we see a rocking chair of some sort. Now, my rocking chair may be black and small, and the one the animal is picking up is larger and is white. So sometimes we have to be very specific on what we project, be more cognizant of what we're projecting out there when we say words. But when you say the word, they understand it, more importantly, see the visualization, and then when you talk to them, your energy goes up to a higher plane, and you'll feel better about it because you're talking to them, and they respond well to positive energy. So when Lucy's out barking at someone's outside the gate and she's barking her head off, you go out, you say, "Oh, good job, that's just Billy, Susie, or that's just Billy, Lucy." Said, "Good job, thanks for letting me know Billy's here. Now I need you to come inside the house, and this will make me very happy." And during this whole process, you see Billy, you see Lucy recognizing that you see Billy, you see Lucy going into the house and laying down. Everybody's happy. So the more visual you are, the better off she's going to be. So that's some of the things you have to do as far as the outside of the house is concerned. Recognize this is a job that she's either assigned to herself or you've assigned to her. And the only way to get them to stop being aggressive or being vocal about it is to recognize that they've done a good job. Applaud them for doing a good job, even though that may sound counterproductive because you're trying to get them to stop barking and being aggressive, and then ask them to go to do something else, give them another job to do. So that's the first thing I would do. Now, when people are approaching your house, if you have guests coming over or family or friends, people that she doesn't quite understand why they're there, then I would try to have Lucy greet them at a neutral location. And what I mean by neutral location is somewhere other than the front door. The front door is always for a dog in particular, is always the most tense area. That's the area they feel they need to protect the most, is the front door, because that's the entry into the main house. So what you want to do is have Lucy greet them in a neutral area, which could be outside, out in the backyard where it's fenced in a garage door that's open, have her go out through the garage, those type of things. And then the people that are coming to the house, if you know they're coming ahead of time, have them pull up to the drive, call you to let you know that they're outside, have them come out of their car, have Lucy come out with hopefully the fence in between them, present them with a treat of some sort, and then talk to Lucy, tell them that this is just Billy again, Billy's got something for you, and have them with an open palm present Lucy with a nice little treat, and then tell Lucy to show them the house, show them the yard, invite them in, basically. And soon Lucy will start to recognize that, hey, I don't have to be aggressive. I don't have to be overly protective. This is just part of the process. I've let you know once again that I know someone's here. You've told me it's who it is and it's okay and what I need to do next. I get a nice little treat, which is always helpful, and then I can go on and do what I need to do. Those are the type of things that you want to do with Lucy. And she's very sensitive. She's very family oriented. She likes the family. She likes being there. She likes being close at hand. She says small dog, and I know she's not a small dog, so she likes to be held like a small dog. And it doesn't necessarily mean laying on your lap, which I know she likes to do sometimes. But more importantly, the things you would do with a smaller dog, that's what she would like as well. So enjoy that when you're part of the family and the family household. Know that she likes to be there with you and be involved with the things you're doing. But the aggressive parts of it is more of that's what she thinks she needs to do. And we've got to start counteracting that and talking to her and letting her know that it's okay to do that, but let's not be so aggressive. Here's what I need you to do now that I've recognized that you've done your job.
Very good advice.
So try that and give it a shot. Be positive about it. Know it will work, and I think you'll start seeing some changes within Lucy.
And let us know. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Tim, I've got another caller on the line. I'm going to see if this is someone with a question that they've sent a picture in. So hold on one second here. Caller 808, you're on the line. Hello? Did you have a question? Yes.
Is this DC?
It is.
Hi, this is Alicia Adrian from Hawaii.
Hello, Alicia. Did you have a question on a pet, or are you just listening?
I sent in a picture. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to be here, so I'm not sure that you have had it. It's about my little Papillon dog, Sammy.
I don't think we got that picture. I didn't get that from you.
Okay. All right. I can just listen then.
Well, no, that's okay. Tell us about Sammy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Sammy. Sammy is Athame's Magic. He's a purebred Papillon boy. He's a beautiful tricolor. He's 8 years old. He is sitting on my lap right now. He has been mine since he was 7 weeks old. And he was raised by me and trained by me, and he does therapy with me with kids.
Good.
And he's a great dog. I love him. He's my favorite dog in the whole world. So my problem is that I also was going to show him when he was about a year old in confirmation, and I got him ready, and I took him to a new class just before I took him into his first show, and he was attacked by two loose dogs there. Mm. Now, he's only 8 pounds, so two big dogs attacked him. And after that, it took me almost a year to get him to where he wasn't afraid because he was on leash when he was attacked and the other dogs were loose.
Mm.
So I worked with him for a year, and he had calmed down and he was okay with dogs again, and he was doing really well, and I was getting ready to show him again. And he was attacked again, this time in a store, and he again was on leash and the other dog again was not on leash. Now, this has happened to him over 3 years in 6 times. And he has finally gotten to where he's totally traumatized by it. And now he is aggressive.
And is he aggressive and just when he's on leash or when he's loose?
He is aggressive on leash when he goes out where other dogs are. He is completely good with people. He is so social. He is so sweet. He is so great to be around with people. But if he even sees a dog that he doesn't know coming at him from another area, he goes ballistic, and he will try and go right through you to get to that dog to protect himself. And so I know what his problem is, but I don't know what to do with it. And it has gotten to the point now where he is starting to become aggressive with his own son.
Mm-hmm.
Who he sees as a threat to him. Only he sees him as a different kind of threat because I'm giving Fate attention because we finally decided to keep another puppy. And so I'm not quite sure, and I've trained dogs and I've had dogs all my life, but I'm not quite sure what to do with this situation and how he's feeling with this because I've never had him do that before to that extent.
Is he keeps showing me his forehead. Does he have a diamond on his head? Is there a white patch of the diamond?
He has a blaze. It is a diamond shape. It is actually a diamond shape. I hadn't thought about that.
Okay.
I had to come look at him then. Now it's a diamond shape, but it's a blaze going to the back, but it's real thin at the top, so it's a diamond, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure he had the right energy. He was really showing me that. So he's really proud. He's a very proud boy. He loves the way he looks. So that's.
He is a very proud boy. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So you're doing the right things there, which is great. Let me ask you this then. Obviously, he had some trauma there.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that our animals will typically, over time, learn from that trauma. And
mm-hmm.
focus on more of what they need to do, what their purpose is, what you need them to do while they're here. And so they'll be less
mm-hmm.
and less traumatized. So the question I've got is for you is, how important is it for you to be able to have him on leash and around other dogs? That's the first thing.
Okay. It's actually important to me because I love him to go with me, and he loves to go with me. We go. He's gone. I lived in Colorado until 3 years ago. And he went everywhere. He went horseback riding with me. He went in the car with me everywhere I went to see my clients. He was completely mobile. And now I have him in Hawaii, and I don't take him out. They have a lot of dogs that are loose big and fairly aggressive dogs.
Yeah,
a lot of the small dogs here get attacked. So I am not taking him with me, and he's really missing it.
Okay. And is this more of, how does he act when he is, when he's around the children, when you have him off leash?
When he's around children?
Yeah, you said you take him to, is it with children?
I do therapy with children. Yes, he's perfect.
Okay.
He's,
yeah.
Baby's perfect with kids. He's perfect with all ages. He likes people.
Okay. So there's a couple of things. Here's what I would suggest. By the way, that he's a healer, by the way, just to let you know, so that he views it, that's his purpose. He's a healer. And so though
he is,
he
yes,
had,
yes.
Okay, good. So he's a healer, so I would continue to do things for him, or with him, that he enjoys doing, so that are part of why he's here, which is healing. So if you can expand the times you have him off leash with therapy programs, such as, you know, children's, working with the children, children's reading programs, if you can take him to nursing homes, elderly care, those type
yeah,
of things.
Yeah, he does all of that.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to do that. Broaden that as far as you can, as far as your time's concerned. But he really enjoys that. That's what he's good at. That's what he likes. He's never liked being around other dogs, especially since his challenges he's had. I don't think he's ever liked really being around a lot of different dogs. So trying to get him back in an environment where there's a lot of other dogs, especially in shows, those type of things, I don't think that's where he's going to shine, and I don't think that's where he's going to be comfortable.
Yeah,
but
I don't care about him going to shows at all.
Okay.
What I'm becoming concerned with now is I had come to that conclusion, and I was pretty much keeping him here. He does sessions here with kids. He goes out to places where there aren't dogs when he is social with people. And that's fine, that part of it. But now he's getting to the point where he is understanding that I'm taking his son, who is 18 months old now, Fate, and I'm taking him to shows, and I'm taking him out to train him, because I can't train him at home because Fami will attack him. So I'm taking him away from the house in the car, and he's seeing me take Fate places.
Right,
and I
right.
think that's making it worse.
Was there a way of taking Sammy along with you but not taking him on the leash in the training
no.
areas?
Okay. No. I can even take him in a carrier, and he's like attacking the front of the carrier to get to Fate the whole time and intimidating Fate.
Okay, yeah.
So I actually have those two separate all the time now, and that's hard on both of them because I'm trying to give both of them attention.
Right. But does he attack the other dog when he's off leash in the house?
Yes.
Okay, so he's been aggressive that way as well.
Yeah, and that just started when I decided to keep Fate, and he went beyond 6 months old,
okay.
and now he's 18 months, so it's been that amount of time. And his mate is with him all the time. Talisman is with Sammy all the time, and that's the puppy's mother. And she's great, and she gives Sammy attention, and she gives Fate attention, and I just have to separate them all the time. So I'm looking for some way to communicate to him that I totally love him, but I can love other dogs, and he knows that. He was raised with 5 other dogs, and I was giving all of them attention. So,
and in fact,
is new.
Are they? Is it another male?
He is another male. Yes, I know.
Okay.
I would fall in love with another male to keep. Yes.
Yeah, he's actually viewing, even though it's, and you said it was his offspring.
His own puppy, yeah.
His own puppy, yeah. Okay, so now he's gone from being his own puppy to growing up to being another male dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, and are they, I'm assuming, are they fixed? Have they been?
Sammy, I fixed Sammy when Fate was 6 months old, and because I used to breed him, and because he's gorgeous. But now he's been fixed for about, 9 months now? And he's adjusted to that fine, but he's still aggressive to Fate.
Right. Is Fate fixed?
Fate is not fixed.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, yeah, we got a lot of going on.
I know. I'm complicated here.
Very complicated. Yeah, because we have it, because now all of a sudden you've got the pressure of alpha dominance coming into play.
And, yes, and
well.
Sammy was 8 years old when I had him fixed, so I understand, yes.
Yeah. Well, one thing is, do you plan on breeding Fate?
I do.
Okay.
Fate's a little show boy, and he's beautiful. He is really his daddy's son, and I would like to breed him in the
okay.
future. Not for a couple of years, but in the future.
Yeah. Well, the best thing, here's my advice. You're going to continue to have some challenges because you got now all of a sudden, even though it's his own own puppy, it's his own offspring, it's now a mature dog, and a male dog.
Exactly.
It's intact.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, Sammy's feeling a little bit threatened by that. So we've got to slowly start controlling that. And so what I would suggest you doing is trying to introduce them both short periods of time on leash. If you've got someone there that can help you out, each of them being on leash. If they need to be separated by a baby gate at first, that's fine. Let them sniff each other. Let them get control of each other. Instead of correcting them, lay loose of the leash a little bit. Still have it in your hand, but let loose of some of the tension because you don't want them to feel your tension. Let them be around each other for brief periods of time, either with a baby gate or on leash or both, just for a short period of time. I'd say 5 minutes at a time at first. And when they do it correctly, when they're sitting, when they're cooperating and Sammy's not being aggressive, applauding, let him know he's doing a great job, great work, way to be a sweet boy, give him all kinds of accolades. You can even give him a little treat if you want to, but more importantly, the accolades the praising is going to be the good thing. And then you slowly continue to expand that. So you do it for more than 5 minutes. And then if you've got a baby gate in between them, you remove the baby gate, but still on leash. So you're doing it short increments of time so he knows that everything's okay. And then when you go to, once you get that accomplished in the house, then you want to try doing that in the car. But you only want to do it in short periods of time in the car. So it's 5 minutes at a time. Then once you've got that accomplished and they're doing well, you go a little bit further. And then you go drive around the block. And then you expand it from there. So it's going to take some time. It's going to take some progression here. But you've got to talk to him and talk to Sammy, let him know what's going on, what he needs to do, and why it's going to be a good thing. And when he does it right, praise the heck out of him. When he does it wrong, that's okay. Just pull back on the leash, make sure they're separated. Don't let him feel your tension. Don't scold him. Don't throw any negative energy your way. Just don't throw the positive praise his way. And that's how you're going to slowly going to have to start introducing them again. It's okay to keep them separated at times. I think it's fine to do that. I think it's fine to have separate times and separate goals. Sammy may not choose, he may not feel comfortable being out there when you're doing the training or going to places where you're doing the training with Fate. But while you're in the household, that's the thing we want to accomplish. We've got to get them comfortable in the household, and I think you can do that by introducing them for short periods of time. It's almost like introducing a brand-new dog into the house.
Okay, I have tried this.
Okay.
I have tried this. And Fate ended up in the hospital. So,
did you have him on leash, though?
I did not have him on leash. Actually, I had Sammy on leash that time, and Fate ran up. He was only 7 months old, and he ran up to say hi to his dad when he got home, and Sammy went for him and just really hurt him. And so I have since then kept them separate. I have put a muzzle on Sammy twice in the last month, and it's a soft muzzle, so he can move his mouth, but he can't attack with it. And I have let them sit together while I was watching TV for a brief amount of time. And Sammy has not attacked him at that point. He growls, but he has not attacked him.
Okay.
But he knows what the muzzle is. He knows he's not going to be able to use his mouth when he does that. And he is really smart. I've seen him wait until he has it off.
And then he'll go for it.
Yeah.
And that's why I personally prefer the leash.
The leash and he got him. He's just quick.
Yeah, you gotta have both of the key thing is you gotta have both of them on the leash. That's the key. Introduced for short periods of time. The reason I'm recommending the leash is not only because it gives you control to pull back if you need to, but more importantly, typically when dogs are on leash, they are focused on what they need to do. It's just like walking them outside. When the leash goes on, they know that their job is to walk and to be outside and to focus on what they need to do. So even in the house, when you have them both on leash, their attention goes to more of what is my job to do while I'm on the leash compared to, doing whatever I want to do because it's my house.
Okay, I'll try it.
So, yeah, I would try those things. You got to be positive about it. The only other suggestion I would have for you is to do add some. Do you have any supplements, calming solutions, herbs? If you there's some wonderful products out there. One that I always use, which is very easily to get a hold of, is called Rescue Remedy.
Yes, I have that.
Okay, start introducing that into Sammy's diet as a regular part of his nutrition. You
okay.
check with your veterinarian first if you want to, but typically we'll use Rescue Remedy when we think there's going to be a stressful situation. But if there's no thought of a stressful situation, then we don't use it. What I always mm-hmm. recommend is if you have a dog that's a little bit sensitive, a little bit on edge, has had some challenges, put some of the Rescue Remedy into his diet, either on his food or in his water. It doesn't hurt any of the other dogs, so if they share water bowls, that's fine. Put a few drops in there every day and add that as part of his supplement, and that's part of his calming solution. So check with your veterinarian first, but you can pick up the Rescue Remedy. It's made by Bach, B-A-C-H, and you can get it at any health food store, any vitamin store.
I've used it for years for horses and dogs,
So you know it. So introduce a little bit more of that in his diet. But be consistent. Don't expect too, overwhelming things overnight, little bits at a time. Be positive about it. That's the key thing. Praise him when he does well.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Alicia, for calling in. I'm glad we got to chat with your dog.
Yeah. I was glad, too.
I've
been wanting to ask someone about this.
Ashley, and which island are you on?
I'm on Oahu right now. I was on Maui for 2 years.
Ah, beautiful. So we were just talking about that. I don't know if you caught the first of the show, but we were just talking about how I was there for Y2K. We were in Oahu, then we went down to Maui, and it's a beautiful place.
It is.
So mahalo.
Mahalo. Thank you.
Thank you, Alicia.
Bye, DC.
Okay, well, we've got just about 10 minutes left, Tim, so can we do Jennifer?
Sure.
This hour's going fast, isn't it?
It always does. It always does, but it's great. Glad everybody sent in their pictures ahead of time and called in. That's what makes a great show. We can talk to your beautiful animals and find out what's going on, get some questions answered, and give you some suggestions and see if we can help you build those best lives possible between you and your pets. So definitely good thing. All right, so we have Jennifer. Jennifer has a horse named Cash. And the question is, Jennifer was told by a trainer that he is not an honest horse. I have no idea what that means, but he's not an honest horse. So
that was my first thought, too. What the heck does that mean? That's so ridiculous.
No,
go ahead.
I don't know. When he says that, I'm getting pictures of the five dogs playing poker. That's maybe the horse. Maybe we got one of those paintings. I don't know. But in any case, not an honest horse. We've been through a school for professional trainers together before that. I've had him since he was green broke at 3. He is now 11. Do not feel he trusts me and don't trust him entirely. Would he be happier with a different partner? Okay. So, anyway, first of all, I don't have any idea what an honest horse means, and I would not even put that out there. That honest horse to me would mean that he has challenges for most people, and he's maybe a little bit more sensitive, a little bit more aggressive, maybe a little bit more temperamental. Doesn't mean that he's not a great horse. He just needs to understand you, and you need to understand him a little bit better. And the second thing I would say, Jennifer, is you've got to determine if Cash is the right horse in your life and that you meet his needs and Cash meets your needs. And the key behind that is, the biggest part of that is trusting that, feeling good about it. You know, if you're worried every time that you go out to be with Cash that he's going to be a little bit cantankerous, he's going to nip at you, he's going to do things, if you're not trusting yourself and your own behavior, then you have no hope at all, because you're projecting that energy, you're projecting that negative low-level energy that animals will desperately try to deflect, but after a while they start to absorb it. So if we're anxious and we're concerned and we're worried, our animals are going to start feeling anxious, concerned, and worried as well. So first thing you got to do is be confident. I think he likes it. I think he likes you and likes everything just fine. He's a little anxious. he's a little concerned about what's going on in his life. So I think we need to spend more one-on-one time and do more positive things with him, and going back once again to talking to him, explaining what he is to do and why it's going to be a good thing for him, and be positive about it, feel good about it. You know, if you're anxious about it, he's going to get anxious. So I didn't see anything here listed exactly what he does do, but he is a very he has a very gentle side to him, but you've got to uncover those layers, because I think a lot of people think he's a little bit over the top, when underneath of it all, I think he's a very sweet, calm horse. But it's going to take some one-on-one time. It's going to take some commitment to say, hey, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to feel good about it. I want cash in my life. And so the best way I'm going to be able to do that is to enhance his life by making him feel good about the horse he is, and talking to him, and when he does things the right way, making him feel good about himself. So that's some of the things I would do. You can obviously, we talked a lot about supplements. That seems to be the key. I think I need to be getting an endorsement from some of these supplement companies.
Yeah.
But if we can add some more calming solutions, and DC, I don't know if you have any other recommendations as far as calming solutions out there for horses, but I think if you add those into the diet, that could actually help his mentality as well.
Absolutely. So if you're listening, Jennifer, get a hold of me. I'll give you some suggestions. And one of the things would be get another trainer, because I think that's just absurd, personally.
Absolutely. I mean, if your trainer thinks that he's not trainable, if your trainer is putting out that negative energy, then yeah, that's gonna, because he spends a lot of time with the trainer, and you know, he's not gonna respond well. You got to have someone in there that's not only confident and competent in what they're doing, but actually wants to be there. Wants to spend time with Cash, wants to see the best things in life coming out of him. And I think there's great, great potential there, but it's just going to take some positive thoughts, a soft and dedicated mentality toward it, and I think he can come a long way.
I agree totally. Well, Tim, we've got about 3 minutes left. I know you need to go. Do you feel you've got a minute or two to chat with Sharon's horses, Kiowa and Dolly?
Yeah, we can talk briefly here. So we got Kiowa and Dolly, Sharon's horses. Just like to know if there's anything the girls, she can do for the girls while they're waiting for the man to come.
And just so you know, Kiowa's the sorrel. She's the one in the front, the larger of the two.
Okay, got it. They seem to be doing okay. They're ready for it to be done. So I'm thinking that Sharon's probably ready for this whole thing to be done as well. So they're going to be anxious when everything gets completed. The man is okay, but they would rather have their peace and solitude. They'd rather have the project done. But for now, they seem to be doing okay with it. I think their feet are doing, you know, I think it's a good thing that you're continuing to check their feet. I'm a little bit more concerned about Dolly than I am Kiowa, but I'm feeling, and especially check that right front foot. Next time you go out there, check that one for sure. It's feeling a little bit tense or a little bit sore to me with Dolly. But other than that, I think, you know, keeping a close eye on that is a good thing, especially with the weather the way it is. But I don't feel anything major in there other than Dolly's right foot, so I want to keep an eye on that as well. But overall, pretty good. They're anxious. Make sure that when you're around them that you're not anxious about getting this project done, the fence post done and everything as well. But other than that, I think they're okay.
Oh, good news.
Yeah, we like that.
And, Tim, did you get any impression on that last picture I sent you? She didn't have any questions. She sent the picture in of her horse and the mule, who was Gina. Did you get anything on that, or was I, for some reason, I just thought, I just like that picture. There's something that drew me to those two, and
okay,
I wanted to
yeah.
see what your impression was.
All right, so this is David Clark's mule named Gina and horse named Hermes. And let's see here. Cute. Now, keep an eye. There's been a change. I don't know if I'll be curious. Is there a change lately? And I'm getting change as far as either location that you have them at or a place that you've taken them to. There's been some sort of change. They actually seem to like it okay. So that's a curious thing for me, is that you can't really tell if it's a change in location where you're keeping them or place you've taken them to or something of this sort. They like the change. Keep an eye out on the back, Gina's back. It feels a little tense to me. This would be more of a, it feels like an upper, it feels quite a bit like almost throughout the whole back, but mostly the upper shoulder areas and the back hip area, right hip. Just keep an eye on that. It feels a little tender. I don't know if there's been past issues or if it's just something due to age. I'm not sure, but keep an eye on that with Gina. Make sure that that's not going to be a problem. But overall, they seem to be pretty happy. They're happy whatever this change was that's happened. They're not being specific what it was, but there's been some changes. It looks like a location to me. So it's either some place you're keeping them, or a place you've been, or a place you've been recently, maybe before the snow fell and those type of things. They liked it. It was something special. I think you liked it, and they liked it as well. So other than that, very good.
Very good. Well, our time is up, Tim. I want to thank you again for taking the time to help these animals and their owners.
My pleasure. It's always great. It's always great. So we'll be back on in a couple of months.
Yep.
So give everybody plenty of time. Get their pictures together. Send them in. Please call in. We'd love to hear the calls and be able to talk to you more in detail about your pets. And, you know, as always, if you want to find out more about me and what's going on and how I can help you out, or sign up for an individual consultation with me so we can go into more detail, I'd be glad to do that. Visit the website, which is wagging-tails.com.
Very good. Thank you, Tim. And folks, please consider pet adoption as your first choice. Thanks, everybody. And thank you, Tim.
Great. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, everyone. We've come to the end of another great NHN radio show. If you haven't already, join our community. The link is on my website, naturalhorsenetwork.com. Until next time, goodbye, everybody.